This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs. And I'm joined by Darshan Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So it's the eve of Halloween, so we're doing a bit of a Halloween themed show today. Earlier, we were investigating why some people enjoy being frightened out of their skin and why others don't. And I mean the latter, unfortunately. And in our second story, we're going to be discussing scary movies. But on that note, we are asking you something over on our Twitter poll.
Yes, so you can take our poll at BFM Radio. And we are asking you, do you enjoy scary experiences like haunted houses, horror movies, ghost stories, etc. So right now we have three options, which is yes, I love them, only sometimes, or never. So right now it's pretty much split three ways, although yes, I love them has a bit of a lead with 37%, only sometimes 32%, never 30%. So you can keep taking that poll at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can also WhatsApp us 018-789-8899.
Yes, so to kick things off, if I asked you guys to name the scariest movie you've ever watched, what would it be?
I would say Train to Busan.
Train to Busan? Mm. Okay, yeah.
Okay, nice. We got a Korean movie there. It's a bit of a tough one for me, but I was told, you know, to only pick one, so I will go with The Babadook, an Australian independent movie.
Okay, all right. And again, I'm going to be showing my age by saying it was The Exorcist, you know, which terrified me as a child. And, you know, each of us might have our own personal movie that terrifies us, but now science might just have the answer to the question, what is the scariest movie ever? And if you're wondering...
New details today in the grisly murders of a local family found earlier this week.
I didn't want to move here.
We couldn't afford to live in the old house anymore. Plus, the new story I'm writing is here.
Is the story a good one this time?
I'm going to write the best book that anybody's ever read. That's the family who lived here.
You think these are serial murders?
I don't know. The first one I found dates back to the 60s.
The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. He consumes the souls of human children.
So, for those of you who might have avoided...
Gosh.
If you have avoided watching that movie at all costs, that was a clip from Sinister, which came out in 2012, directed by Scott Derrickson, who also went on to make Doctor Strange, and also stars Ethan Hawke.
And according to a study released earlier this month called The Signs of Scare, Sinister is scientifically the scariest movie ever. So second on the list is Insidious by James Wan from 2010. And rounding off the top three is The Conjuring, also directed by James Wan in 2013. So in total, the study has come up with what they call the 35 scariest movies ever.
Yeah, so to round off that top 10 list, the rest starting from number four are... Number four, Hereditary. 5, Paranormal Activity. 6, It Follows. 7, The Conjuring 2. 8, The Babadook. 9, The Descent. And 10, The Visit.
Yes, and the study was done by Broadband Choices, a broadband comparison tool based in the UK, and it utilizes a surprisingly simple biological approach to decide which movies scared us the most, our heart rates. So for the project, the platform first created a list of the highest rated horror movies according to outlets like 1MDB, not that scary, IMDB, Rotten Tomatoes, and Reddit. And then 50 people of different ages wore heart rate monitors as they watched over 100 hours of these scary movies. And based on an average resting heart rate of 65 beats per minute, the study tracked how much the viewers' heart rates rose above the resting heart rate while watching each movie.
Yes, so based on this, while watching Sinister, for example, the average resting heart rate spiked from 65 beats per minute to 86 beats per minute, the highest spike in the whole study. In comparison, Scream, which placed number 20 on the list, caused heart rates to go from 65 to 73 beats per minute on average.
Yeah, so we will say there are some obvious limitations to this study. So firstly, the sample size is pretty small. Secondly, the study does limit its scope to the 50 highest rated horror movies. So which is called from fairly Western-centric websites, and so leaves out many films from other parts of the world. And we can't overlook how huge the Asian horror film scene is. But that said, it's still an interesting look at, you know, not just what scares people, but also how much specific movies scare them.
Yes, and speaking of how much, the other thing the study measured was which movie had the biggest quote-unquote jump scare. So a jump scare is that thing that they do in many horror films, right? Where they unexpectedly scare the audience by abruptly changing, you know, from one image to another, usually a shocking or a scary one, and is usually accompanied by some kind of frightening sound. So, for example, in Friday the 13th, you know, when the character Jason suddenly jumps out of the water, or that famous lawnmower scene in Sinister, or that infamous shower scene in Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho. And it might surprise you to know that the first known jump scare in a film was all the way back in 1942 in a movie called Cat People.
You never would have thought.
No, never.
So in the Science of Scare study, the biggest jump scare moment comes from Insidious. Insidious, where viewers' heart rates went up to 133 beats per minute. And remember, resting rate was 65. Wow. So the next two biggest jump scares are from Sinister and Exorcist 3.
But this part about jump scares might also explain one aspect of this study that might be surprising to many. If you look at the list, you might notice that newer, more modern horror movies rank much higher than the classics. In fact, the top 10 are from the last 15 years. Most film critics will agree that The Exorcist or The Shining or even Nightmare on Elm Street are better horror films than many that ended up in the top 10. And yet in this list, they ranked much lower. And that's because when you measure heart rates, movies with jolts of horror or jump scares will almost certainly turn up higher than something more slow burn or psychological.
So for comparison's sake, the Exorcist lands at number 17 on the list, and The Shining just barely makes it to number 33. Nightmare on Elm Street, which was made in 1984, is actually the movie made before 2000 that lands highest on the list, and that's still at number 13.
Yes, in fact, many film critics over the last 10 years have been criticizing the overuse of the jump scare in horror films, saying it's becoming overused and that it's become a lazy way for filmmakers to get quick scares from its viewers versus trying more complex or innovative techniques to create horror on screen. So film scholar Mohammad Hassan Basal, for example, says, and I'm quoting him here, jump scares are an easy and cheap way to scare the faintest of heart. And film community portal No Film School says, and I'm quoting again, over the years, jump scares have become a horror film cliche due to overuse.
So to help us analyse what the results of this study says about how we watch horror films, we have our very own Arvind Yuvaraj, co-host of Popcorn Culture, who unfortunately couldn't pop into the studio to be with us, so we have him on the line. Thanks for joining us, Arvind. So firstly, did it surprise you to learn that based on this particular study, the top three scariest films of all time are Sinister, Insidious, and The Conjuring?
No, not at all. Because I think that these are the three films, like these specific films are the three films that sort of brought horror back from the slump that it was in. So there was like a 10 or 15 year period in between where horror was just like considered like a trash genre. So like people would make really cheap movies and dump them in either like January or some holiday season where other movies weren't in, just to get like a quick buck and to make like quick money, you know, like 90 minute horror films, those kind of things. But Sinister and the Conjuring franchise specifically, I think, brought horror back in like a big way. And now you see horror like prestige projects, and you see horror becoming like completely mainstream while also being quality films. So no, not surprising at all.
But what did you think about the fact that none of the classic horror films, you know, like The Exorcist or The Shining or Friday the 13th, made it into the top 10?
So I think the older horror films were not as frightening as the newer ones, especially if they were testing newer audiences. So I think there is a bit of a bias there. If you maybe ask people who watched The Exorcist and maybe watched stuff like The Omen back then maybe they would have said or their reactions would have been different. But if you are testing people who watched The Exorcist and The Omen and also watched stuff like Sinister and Hereditary and Midsommar and all of the newer movies, they're obviously going to react differently and more intensely to the newer films, because there is a kind of sort of cheesiness and a bit of like retro aging on the older films, right? I mean, they look kind of maybe fake or maybe plastic. And with the newer films, you get like that more realistic reaction, I think. So with age, I think horror movies become unintentionally funny sometimes. I'm not saying Exorcist is unintentionally funny. I'm just saying that it might have aged differently, giving the newer films like a bigger advantage.
So do you think that horror movies have gotten scarier over time?
Yes. Over the last 10 to 12 years, yes. Like I said, so in between, there was a time when horror films were not scary at all. Like they were just done for the sake of being done and making a quick buck. But over the last 10 or 15 years, 10 to 12 years at least, horror has become a lot scarier than it used to be, because there are people like let's say things like The Witch, where it's more like, you know, it's more about atmosphere, more about vibe. There's a lot of disturbing imagery that sort of sticks in your head. The same for Hereditary. And even Conjuring has a way of sticking with you even after you leave the cinema. So yeah, it has amped up on the scares, but at the same time, it has become a lot more, no pun intended, like a lot more haunting than it used to be.
And what are your thoughts on the methodology used in this particular study to measure this idea of scary by looking at how much it elevates the audience's heart rates?
Kind of unfair. I think, because even like within horror, right, there's like horror is like the main umbrella, but then even within that you have like Something's Wrong with the House, like haunted house horrors, then you have like slashers, then you have like possessions and exorcisms, and then there's your usual, like, you know, spirits and ghouls and ghosts and stuff. So I think like comparing heart rates is kind of unfair to the movies themselves, because you take something like Hereditary and you compare it to The Conjuring, you're gonna have like different reactions. One is more moody and depressing and very sort of like dark and slow, methodical. The other one is like your mainstream, like it has jump scares but also very intense. So it has like the ugly faces, the makeup, the sort of like, you know, the very in your face sort of visual. So while one might be scarier and might be more, might have more quality, the other one is going to get the advantage because it's doing the horror thing. It's doing the roller coaster, you know, ups and downs, jump scares method, right? So I think it's kind of weird using heart rates to judge horror films, because you'd have to break the horror films into their own separate genres to do that first.
And Arvind, you mentioned jump scares several times, which is what this study is based on. And that is something that is also tied to modern horror films more than the classic ones. Do you think, though, that there's an over-reliance on jump scares in contemporary horror movies?
No. I think the newer ones, I think, do them just right. But at the same time, I think if they don't have a proper story, that's when they start to overly rely. So like personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with jump scares. I think if you know how to do jump scares right, then they work like really well. So if something like The Haunting of Hill House, if I mention that name, anyone who's seen that series will know exactly what I'm talking about. There is one specific scene that comes to mind when you talk about jump scares. So I don't think it's overly used. I think the newer directors know how to use it in a way that is genuinely scary and it's supposed to reach its effect. There are some, like, few and far in between that still use it for the sake of using it and overly use it, and it becomes just like, oh, okay, you know, I'm being in the cinema and I'm scared for 2 hours. But the newer movies are much smarter about the way they use jump scares. And if it's used right, then it's doing what it's supposed to do. Like, there is an intended effect and it's reaching it.
So before we let you go, Arvind, what would you say is your scariest horror movie of all time?
I want to say Hereditary, but it's not my most enjoyable. So even that has like, there's like an asterisk, right? It's the scariest thing I've seen in maybe the last like 15 years. But would I watch it again? No, because it's really depressing. So if I had to choose, I would recommend, or I would say, Conjuring, the first one. I think that one is like, it's a nice balance of like fun, and you also have the effect where you are like genuinely frightened, but then you come out of it feeling like, oh, I had a good time watching this horror film, instead of coming out of it and feeling like I'm completely down and I don't feel like doing anything for the next 2 days. So Conjuring, scariest thing I've seen is Hereditary.
All right. The two movies I'm probably never, ever going to watch. Thank you so much, Arvind. That was Arvind Yuvaraj, co-host of BFM's Popcorn Culture.
Yes. So on that note, we were asking you and we are asking you, do you enjoy scary experiences like haunted houses, horror movies, ghost stories, etc.? And we want to know what your favorites are. So you can take a poll that we have running on our Twitter page at BFM Radio, and your options are yes, I love them. Only Sometimes or Never. Right now, Yes, I Love Them has 35%, which is leading just by slightly over the people who say Never. And then about 30% is people of 30% of y'all say Only Sometimes. We have a lot of WhatsApps that came in. Muniandi, who has sent in a list of his favorite horror movies, Sixth Sense, Shining, Exorcist, Blair Witch. Maggie says if the Exorcist movie was scary, I found the book more scary, especially the parts about black magic rituals, horror. We have one who says horror, try some Siamese movies, The Ring, and he also mentioned Ghostbusters. Which I don't know if you'll get your heart rate up.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah. And there's Conjuring. Someone mentioned Conjuring 2. He said he watched it 5 times and he still gets scared each time watching it. We also have a message again from Lok Kwok Yuen who says Blair Witch Project. Oh, he finally watched Blair Witch Project this year, but found that it was not scary at all. Okay.
Yeah, I'm with him on that. That movie, you know, had so much built up, you know, yes. And when I watched it, I was thoroughly disappointed.
Okay, and a message from Cynthia, and she says, I do enjoy horror movies, but I never watch them alone if I can help it. So I'm always trying to convince, she's always trying to con friends into accompanying her.
I share Cynthia's sentiments there. I'm always the one, I'm terrified of them, but I want to watch them, so I'll need company.
What cons both of you and Cynthia are? I don't know, what is scary for you guys in movies? You know, is it the creepy things? Is it those jump scares that we were talking about? Or is it more of like psychological horror or true crime? You know, those sorts of genres that really get you scared.
Yeah, so for me, the jump scares one do not scare me. I do think there is a place for jump scares in horror movies. If, like Arvind said, if it's done well, executed properly, it can get you really pretty well. But overall, I don't get excited for films like Conjuring, Annabelle, that entire franchise much. I do like the more psychological ones, the one with a little bit more family drama that explores relationships. Mm. For example, I mentioned Babadook as one of my favorites, and that is a story about how a mother copes with mental illness and what the son has to go through. And the ghost that is there is sort of an encapsulation, a representation of the struggles that they are going through. And so those horror movies tend to really stick with me even after I leave the cinema.
Mm-hmm. Mm. What about you, Suen?
All of them. All of them are terrifying. I mean, I'm one to avoid most horror movies. I think even when the trailers come up, I'm just like, nope, I'm running. I'm turning it off. I'm looking away. I'm only tempted by some of them, you know, usually those with a lot more story to it. I think like what Dash said, you know, which is why I think the last horror movie that I actually saw in cinema was Train to Busan.
Mm, okay.
And, you know, and that... So stories like that are more interesting to me versus a lot more things like, you know, the usual, The Conjuring, those type of movies. I'm just genuinely more terrified and staying away. I don't think, to me, watching a horror movie in a darkened cinema is not the best idea.
Okay, all right. I mean, for me, the scariest movie I ever watched was when I was a child and I was 9 years old. I don't know what my parents were thinking. And I watched The Exorcist, right? And it stuck with me for years. There's that staircase scene. I don't know if you guys saw it, right? I couldn't walk up a staircase for like years. You know, without the lights on. And I think also because, you know, it had a lot to do with religion, right? And I grew up Catholic, right? So a lot of what was happening in the movie is based on religious things, right? So, you know, I think that's another reason why it was so real and why it had such an impact on me. But, you know, that said, something that Arvind said also, you know, struck me. These older movies kind of look funny now. Mm. And so when I watched The Exorcist as an adult, I was giggling and I thought, hee-hee, that's funny. That, which is, I think, maybe a good thing. It's a progression for me. Mm. But yeah, who knows? Do you think that newer movies are scarier than the older ones?
I do. But again, it's difficult to say whether... It's like you brought up, like Arvind also mentioned, right? I don't know whether it's the fact that a lot of the older movies are dated compared to what I've already watched now. So, for example, I only watched Nightmare on Elm Street like maybe 5-6 years ago because my dad told me, like, I've heard of it, obviously, but my dad was like, no, you have to watch it. I loved it and all that. And I watched it and I was like, okay, I get it. But it didn't scare me, perhaps because I've seen things that are far more scary in cinema today compared and that... And then going back and watching the old stuff, even the effects and all, unless it is something very psychological, I think that it doesn't date that much, but something where it relies on maybe people with effects and things like that, I think it definitely loses its luster after a while.
That's right.
I'm not one to ask Juliet. I've not watched many horror movies at all.
All right, there you go. Okay, I have to say it's the same. And my husband always asks me, why don't you watch horror movies anymore? And I say it's because, you know, I host Earth Matters and things like that. Real life is far scarier. Anyway, but you know, if you're looking for a Halloween watch this weekend, you can check out that full list of scariest movies ever. And just Google Broadband Choices and The Signs of Scare. And we'll also be linking that in our podcast. But you know, if you have any thoughts, you know, you want to share the scariest movie you've ever watched, continue to do that with us. Tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Or if you'd like to drop us the Bigger Picture team a message, just look us up on Facebook, search for BFM The Bigger Picture, and you'll find us there. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show, but if you missed any part of it, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app, and we're also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, I will be speaking to a couple of lawyers. It's our episode of Law and Behold again, and we're doing a 101 on what our Constitution says about the declaration of an emergency through Article 150. So joining me will be lawyer Surendra Anand and Lim Wei Jet. So have a happy Halloween, everybody. We're going to leave you now with CCR and Bad Moon Rising. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.